The scripture reading this morning is 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. This is the same John who wrote the Gospel of John, and he wrote the book of Revelation, and there are three letters, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. We're going to look at 1 John now. Listen to the word of God. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it, and testified to it, and proclaimed to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, and we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things to you so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie, and we do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So far the reading of the word of God. Before we open these beautiful verses of 1 John, let us seek his guidance in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that we have the word of God before us, and that it is word that is absolutely reliable. We have an eyewitness. We have more than one, and we have that witness given to us so that we may have fellowship with you, that the word of God may dwell in our hearts, and that Jesus Christ may be real in us, that he may dwell in us by his Spirit. Bless us now this day, forgive our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. As I mentioned to the children, John the Apostle is giving us a show and tell lesson. What we have seen and heard and touched, we're declaring to you. That's a wonderful thing that we have that. That we have it. That we've got an eyewitness. And not only one, we certainly have one, namely John, but we have many. All of the apostles and prophets were eyewitnesses of our Lord and of God. Moses was, Isaiah was, David was, and on and on. And certainly the Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John were. That's a wonderful thing. We don't have to worry about whether what we're reading is true or not. It is absolutely true. Remember, Peter says this in 2 Peter 1. We did not follow cunningly devised fables when we declared to you the truth of God, but we were eyewitnesses of his glory. So we're telling you exactly what we have seen and heard, beheld, and touched. All the senses of hearing, the senses of sight, the senses of touch, they're all there. And Jesus came and he walked and talked among us, and we beheld his glory, says John, the glory as of the one and only Son of God. So let's look at that. You know, the purpose of it all is that we may have fellowship with God. That's the goal. The goal is to have fellowship. The goal is not that we know him from afar and that we're acquainted. That's important. But what's really important is that there's fellowship, that there's a unity, that there is a bond between God and us, that Jesus actually loves us and lives in us. Remember what Paul says in Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. So, now listen, it is no longer I that live, but Christ lives within me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I mean, that's a marvelous statement. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Paul says in another place, Christ in me, the hope of glory. He actually is in us. Now, how is that possible? You know, probably most of you have had an x-ray. Some of you maybe have had an MRI. Some of you maybe had some other kind of exam that they look inside you. Now that's a marvelous thing. Believe me, it's a wonderful thing that can be done. Now if they look inside you, would they see Jesus? Would they see Jesus? Is he inside of us? Well, listen to what Paul says. I have been crucified with Christ, so it's no longer I that live, but Christ lives within me. Can you see that? Can you see it on an x-ray film? There's Jesus inside you. No. No, you can't see that. Not by an x-ray or an MRI or any other technical device. No. Well, how do you know then? How do you know that he's in you? Do you know that? Or is it a figment of our imagination? Or do we just think it? See, Sigmund Freud, a very famous atheist, psychologist, he dealt with Christian people. And these Christian people said that we pray, we know that Christ lives in us. And Sigmund Freud said, you know, that is just not true at all. It's just an extension of your wish. You're just hoping that. There's no truth to it at all, says Sigmund Freud. And he's teaching, he's no longer living. And he found out now, when he died, he found out that there is a God. Even though you can't see him now, We can't see him with our physical eye, but we certainly see his work all around us. I mean, when you see a baby born, you just can't be an atheist. This is not something that we can just do. God has to give that life to that child. That's God's work. It's a marvelous work of God. And we see his handiwork all around us in nature. In the sky, in the sea, in the animals, in insects, in birds, in fish, in a deer. You see God's handiwork all around us. It's like an elegant book which God wrote with his own hands. We know that. Sigmund Freud didn't believe it. But we know it. Now you can't see it. See Christ with an X-ray inside you. But Paul knew, and you know. Now I talked to a young man who said he was in a Reformed church, and he never heard about being born again. He never heard about that. Well, I want you to know right now that the truth of being born again is something we've all got to hear. What happens when we're born again? What happens? Christ comes into our hearts. We are born from above. Nicodemus came to Jesus, you know. He came by night because he was afraid to come by day. And he says to Jesus, "You must be someone very special because you're doing stuff that no one else can do." And Jesus said, "I tell you, verily, verily, I tell you, unless a man is born again, unless he's born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God." What does it mean to be born from above? What does it mean to be born again? It means that Christ comes into your heart. He comes in through faith. We believe in him. We know him. Even Job, way back in the Old Testament, Job said, "I know that my Redeemer lives." David wrote, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." I know the Lord is my shepherd. He cares for me. He watches over me. He dwells within me. And that's why my cup runs over. Christ dwells within us. There's a fellowship. Jesus said in John's gospel, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing." What does that mean? That any time we do something for the Lord, we come to church, we sing his praises, we pray, it's because he's in us and he gives us the strength to do it. That's how I know he's in me. Because I could not preach without him. I could not preach without him. Neither could any preacher who's worth or who believes that word. He could neither. The only way we can bring the word of God is because he has first brought it to us.
And he plants that word in our heart. That's fellowship. Do you know what I'm talking about? Is this something that you believe too? That you know Christ is in you? Now the Apostle John is so concerned that his readers who read his book experience that. And so he says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest to us, and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. His life was given to us. That's why Paul could say in Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ. He is our life. In him we live and move and have our being, Paul said to the Athenians, to the pagan Athenians from Mars Hill. In him we live and move and have our being. That fellowship with God through Christ and by his Spirit is the gift of eternal life. You know how Jesus begins his high priestly prayer in John 17. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and him whom you have sent, even Jesus Christ. This is eternal life, to know him. Now that word to know is a very poignant name. It's a powerful word, to know. It is an experience which a married couple has. It's a picture of that. You know, you read in Genesis chapter, I think it's 3, maybe it's 4. And Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bore their first son. He knew her. Now, what does that mean? That means that that human experience of oneness between a husband and a wife, and that's why that is God's design, and anything other than that, God calls adultery or fornication. It's not right. That oneness is only between a husband and a wife. And that is called knowing. Adam knew Eve, and she conceived and bore their child. Now, can you write about that experience? Can you describe that experience? It's not easy. It's not easy. But it's something you know, and it's called knowing. Adam knew his wife. Now that's fellowship. That's oneness. And that's what God meant when he said, a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall become one flesh. That is fellowship. That's the closest fellowship between a human being and another human being. That's the intimacy of marriage. And it's a beautiful thing, and it's a symbol. It's a picture of the unity of Jesus Christ and us. Because what are we called? We are called the bride of Christ. And who is he? He's the groom. And what happens when a bride and groom meet together? As one flesh, that's unity. That's oneness. That's intimacy. That's true fellowship. That's why the Lord says in his word, how can two walk together unless they be agreed? They have to have one mind. They have to have one mind. That's what I always say to young people who are dating. You got to make sure that the one who you're going to spend the rest of your life with shares the same faith you do. That they love Jesus like you do. Am I ever glad I've got a wife like that? We pray together. We read the Bible together. We spend great time together. That's unity. That's fellowship. That's the goal of what this Bible is about. That's the goal. That's the objective. That's the target. The target of every preaching of the word is that you and the Lord Jesus Christ can be connected. Oneness. And the symbols he uses are so beautiful. He uses the symbol of marriage. Husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church and gave himself for it and presented her a bride, a beautiful bride without spot or without wrinkle. That oneness of marriage is a picture of Christ and his church. The whole book of Song of Solomon is about that. Solomon says to the book of Solomon says to the young man who is contemplating marriage with this young lady. Solomon says, you call her first my sister and then my bride. First my sister. We're sisters in Christ, brother and sister in Christ. And then we're husband and wife. So there is a prior unity to the physical unity. And that prior unity is the unity of life. The unity of life. And that's what John is talking about. That which we have, that which is from the beginning. Jesus never had a beginning. He's from the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. It's the same phrase you find in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And now here too, he who is from the beginning, that's Jesus, never had a beginning. He always is. Oh, his human nature had a beginning, of course. But he, the Son of God, is eternal. He said, before Abraham was, I am. Jesus gave those beautiful sayings concerning, I am the bread of life, I am the way, the truth, and the life, I am the resurrection and the life, I am the beginning and the end, I am the vine, I am the door, I am the good shepherd, on and on. I am. That I am is the same I am who came and who spoke to Moses from the burning bush when Moses said, and who shall I say sent me to Egypt? And from the burning bush came the word, I am that I am is sending you. That's who Jesus is. He's the I am. He's the eternal I am. He was from the beginning. He was made manifest to us. He appeared. He appeared out of the beginning. He's from eternity. He's the Ancient of Days. And so John is saying, now what I want to tell you is that he who was from the beginning, we have heard him. Our eyes have seen him. We've looked upon him and we've touched him. We have touched him. He was real. He had body, bones, skin, blood. He had all the organs. He was a real man, a human being. And you know why he had to be? Because the same nature that sinned had to pay for sin, and God so loved the world, he gave his son. Now, what's the purpose of all this to us? John said, the purpose is that you may have fellowship, that you may have unity, that you may feel that he is not only out there, but he's in here. He's in my heart. There was a Bible school, and the teacher said to the children, we're going to learn a new song. Into my heart, into my heart. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today, come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. And this little girl in the front row didn't sing. And the teacher said to her, why aren't you singing? Well, I don't have to say, come into my heart, because he's already there. Isn't that wonderful? He's already there. I don't have to say, into my heart, because he's already there. I know he's there. He loves me. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. So she says, I don't have to sing into my heart because he's already there. How beautiful is that? That's what it means to have fellowship with God. Jesus is here. And that's what John is talking about. And he wants to give us solid grounds for believing. Solid grounds. What I've heard, what I've seen, I've looked upon, and my hands have handled. He is a eyewitness. And what I heard and saw and touched, I'm telling you, that you may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son. That we may have fellowship. That we may say, I know that my Redeemer lives. That he is in my heart. That I don't have to be afraid. Remember how Psalm 27 says that the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. We don't ever have to be afraid. Saturday, Lori and I are leaving from Mayo Clinic. And you know, we are standing on that same basic foundation that God is with us. I mean, the Lord has opened so many doors. It's amazing. One door after another. And my donor, we had supper with her and her husband Friday night, and she and her husband are just so thankful that they can do something for somebody else. We're just so thankful. Talk about our cup running over, that's for sure. We're just trusting that the Lord will bring us through this whole experience, and we'll come back and we'll be, you know, better. That's what it's all about. To know Christ and to know that He is with us and that we have fellowship with Him. Do you have that? Do you know Him? You talk to Him. I know you do. Because you tell me you do. We can talk to Him. And you know why we can talk to Him? Because He is in us. You know why silent prayer is effective? Because He's in us. We don't have to use a loudspeaker to talk to the Lord. Jesus said, you just go into your inner closet. And He who sees in secret will hear you. Don't be afraid. This God is our God forever and ever, and He will be our guide to the very end. That's what the psalmist meant when he said in 116, I love the Lord because He heard my voice, He heard my call for mercy. He delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from falling. He will keep me in the hollow of His hand. We never have to worry, ever, because we have fellowship with God. We're one with Him. He in us and we in Him. Oh, if there's anyone who doesn't have that, today is the acceptable hour. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You call on His name, and He will hear you, and He will come and make His home in your heart. And everybody said, amen. Lord, bless this wonderful word unto our hearts. Help us to love You more and more and more and more. And may we know You better all the time. Thank Thee, O Lord, for this word which You have given to us, for the eyewitness, for John and the others who heard, who saw, who handled the Word of God, who handled Jesus, who touched Him, and who tells us so that we may have fellowship with You. And this completes our joy. There's no joy like knowing this. Hear us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.